What's going on? A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. It is awesome to be with you. Nice to have you here in the jungle. Broadcasting from the Quicken Loans Studios. Quicken Loans, understand fully and mortgage confidently. All right, hope you had a good weekend, and I hope your week's off to a good start. I've got a very good show for you to start this week off. We are right in the middle of the grind. It feels good. Best time of the sports year. So many good things to cover. Lots to get into. NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, a couple of game 163s, good interviews. I've got you. I've got you covered. It's going to be a good day. All right, let me start you off. Telephone number is toll-free. I do have a guest coming up next segment, Steve Smith Sr., former NFL wide receiver and a current analyst with NFL Network. That's coming up in 15 minutes, but that should not deter you from calling. In fact, now is a really good time to call because after that, we are wide open until hour number three. All you have to do is commit this phone number to memory and find a topic. Hit me with something you want to talk about. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Steve Smith Sr. coming up next segment. Second hour is wide open, though I'm sure we'll fill somebody with that spot. Tom Verducci in hour number three to talk about the matchups today, which get underway soon. If you already know what you want to hit with the Ryder Cup, you can talk to me about that too. Lots of thoughts about the Americans going back into the tank. Give the European players credit. They were better. They were tougher. They wanted it worse. You know, that same crap that we say every single time we go over there. All that's still ahead, but got to start with the NFL. Another crazy weekend in the NFL. Let me bullet point a few things and then get to my first big topic of the day. Starting with Frank Reich and the Colts. Gambling in overtime, crapping out. And for the record, I love that call. I love what he did. The Steelers last night, looking nothing like the Steelers, then sort of looking like the Steelers, and then nothing at all like them again in their loss to the Ravens. Now they look like a disaster. Josh Gordon made his Pats debut, and it looks like he might make a big difference there. And you can retire that lame take about how Tom Brady does not have weapons. He does. In fact, everywhere. Lots of weapons, and he's getting Julian Edelman back today, and not a second too soon. And even though the Patriots are looking up at Miami in the division, you can go ahead and give the AFC East to the Pats right now, even if they are still looking up at Miami. It belongs to them after that ass-kicking they dropped on the allegedly suddenly relevant and competitive Dolphins, same as they ever were, overhyped, mediocre, and largely irrelevant. Did anybody really think at 3-0 they were going to go in there and do anything, pose any kind of threat to the Patriots? Same as they ever were. How about the Bears throwing up a disco ball for their victory party? Why the hell not? Great D and Mitchell Trubisky lost his mind against the Bucs, throwing for 6 TDs. Look, taking nothing away from the kid, he was lights out. But I'm still going to need to see it or something close to it against somebody other than that sorry-ass D that the Bucs have. But a huge day for Mitchell nonetheless, and the Bears are feeling pretty damn good about themselves, and you know what? They should. The Bucs, not so much. They feel like garbage. They look like garbage. Even their head coach, Dirk Cutter, went with the rare move of suggesting that everybody should be fired, including himself.
We should fire every person that was on that field today, starting with me. That was horrific.
Hey, I'm never looking to take food off anybody's table, but yes and yes. Alvin, let me hear that one more time. That guy literally just said, we should fire everybody on the field, starting with me.
We should fire every person that was on that field today, starting with me. That was horrific.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've left the studio some days here and thought to myself, we should fire everybody here, starting with Hawk. Anyway, there are so many places to start. A few bullets off the top. But where I really want to start is with America's team. America's team. Cowboys. Packers. America's team. The Cleveland freaking Browns. Yes, I said it. They are America's team. They've gone from the worst team in the NFL to the most exciting team in the NFL. 4 games into the season, and all 4 games had you on the edge of your seat, tripping. Hell, The Browns not only matter again, they're exciting as hell. The tie with Pittsburgh, the improbable comeback, an impossible loss to the Saints, the epic win over the Jets that liberated the entire city, and then yesterday, their roadie to Oakland. Another week, another awesome event. The Browns are actually must-see TV. Let me cut to the chase. Yes, it was Oakland's first win of the year. Yes, it was John Gruden's first win as a head coach in a long, long time. And it's easy to get suckered into the story of the Raiders turning the corner now. That now the silver and black are in fact back. That the flame has been relit and it will never go out. That Gruden has it figured out now. Yeah, not really. And you probably don't want to bring that crap around here either. All that did was prevent the worst-case scenario for the Raiders and their $10 million-a-year coach. And no, I don't give a damn how much he makes. You're worth whatever somebody's willing to pay you. I only bring up how much Chunky makes because he made it a point to say how much Khalil Mack wanted to make. Oh, and the fact that every time Khalil Mack steps on the field, he reminds everybody just how badly Gruden got worked in that trade with the Bears, regardless of who they end up picking with the picks that came back. I mean, sure, even if Gruden can work a miracle, which is doubtful, but even if he does, and he does draft the next Khalil Mack, it's still not going to matter because he had the actual Khalil Mack. And he's doing for the Bears what he used to do for the Raiders and should still be doing for the Raiders. Wrecking shop. But I'm not going to keep going back to that over and over again. Well, actually, I probably will. Anyway, my point. The story was not about the Raiders busting their losing streak. It was about the Browns breaking their winning streak. Oakland 45, Cleveland 42 in overtime. And that's what the scoreboard said, and nobody's a bigger scoreboard guy than me. I've always said, if you're blaming the officials, you're blaming yourself. And the Browns were blaming themselves after that game. But they did get jammed by the referees, and jammed hard. You probably saw it, but a quick reset. Cleveland up 42-34. Less than 2 minutes to go. Third and two from their own 17. Get that first down, and they can start kneeling down and celebrating back-to-back wins. Carlos Hyde takes the handoff. And why don't we just go to the tape and see for ourselves.
Here's the snap. Mayfield turns, gives. Hyde blasts it away. He's fighting out to the 19. And let's see where they spot the ball.
Looks like they gave him a pretty good spot from
if
the side.
Boy, if he's got the first down and the Browns and Hyde leading the charge, he's given the first down signal. Let's see.
He got it.
He hasn't given a signal yet, has he?
The ruling on the field is a first down.
First down.
Previous play is under further review. After reviewing the play, the runner's elbow was down and the ball was short of the 19-yard line.
This is not happening! Browns radio. So to recap.
Oh my God, this is not happening!
Hyde appeared to get a first down. And on top of that, did not get a good spot, by the way. But appeared to get a first down. The officials bring out the chain gang. They measure for it. It was ruled a first down. That game is over. But then they go to replay, and then it gets overturned. Fourth down, the Browns punt, the Raiders tie it, they go on to win in overtime. Now, if this had happened a week or two earlier even, you'd have said, Browns gonna brown, but this was not Browns gonna brown. This was the refs gonna ref. I thought the former league MVP of officiating, Dean Blandino, was going to stroke out right there on the air. I mean, it was so egregious that the Cleveland Police Department tweeted, robbery warrant issued for tonight's Browns game. NFL officials, okay, we can't do that. Just saying, hey! Well, you know it's bad when the city police department is going to wacky, sticky tweets. But they were right. That was a robbery. The Browns should be headed back to the land with a win, a 2-1-1 record, and being in a playoff spot at the quarter pole. Now, that doesn't mean the Browns were off the hook. I'm not putting it all on the refs. The Browns made plenty of mistakes in that game. Baker Mayfield had 4 turnovers, and he was the first one to own that.
I'm quarterback of this team. It's on me.
But Baker Mayfield had 4 turnovers and still had them in a spot to win that game. And they should have won that game. They didn't BGB that game. The refs RGR'd that game. Baker said it himself afterwards.
A few, you know, it had to be... a heck of a review to turn that over on the third down and short. So, I don't know, but anytime you put it in somebody else's hands, it's not always going to turn out your way.
Is that a guy making his first NFL start or a guy who's been there 10 years? Love Baker Mayfield. Man, I love the way that guy handles himself on and off the field. But he's right. I mean, this guy already gets it, right? The fact that anybody ever dared to compare him to Johnny Football is the biggest joke ever. These guys have nothing in common. Literally nothing in common. And I want to say it right now. The Raiders may have won that game, but they are losing the war. Because right now, I would rather be the Browns than I would the Raiders. And when have you ever said that you would rather be the Browns than anybody else? Much less the Raiders. But I would. And the reason for that? The Browns have a vision. They've got a plan. They've got a defense with talent. And they have an offense that has serious potential. The Raiders, well, the Raiders have two extra first-round picks. Do they have a future? Possibly. Maybe. I don't know. But I do know the Browns do. So you better buy that stock, jump on that bandwagon before it gets too full. Because while I don't know if the Raiders have turned the corner, I know the Browns have, even after a loss to Oakland, and even after they were jammed hard by the officials. I mean, this is the NFL, right? Where you are exactly what your record says you are. And the Raiders' record says they're 1-3, but they should be 0-4. And hell yes, I would rather be the Browns than I would the Raiders right now. Big Browns block to open the show, and it was not a negative one either. 1-800-636-8686. Other things, games 163. Can't get enough. Can't get enough. Love it. Cubs, Milwaukee. Dodgers, rocks. The only thing better would be winner take all. Winner go home. That's not how it is. The losers get to play, but the loser's situation is not nearly as good as the winner's situation. So I've got a preview of both those games. I love it. I need a lot of time on the Ryder Cup, honestly. Things started off so well, as they always do, and they ended so badly for the Americans overseas, as they always do. What a horrible look. And the fact of the matter is, it's not a fresh take or a new take, but it's a true, accurate take. The European players do want it more than we do, which is a problem. The European players are tougher than we are, which is a problem. Mentally tougher, physically tougher. They don't throw up all over themselves when it matters most. Tip your hat. Tip your hat. They got it done, and we look like garbage again over there. That's never going to change. That's not some one-off. That's been going on for a quarter of a century. At least the Cat and Hefty showed up the way they always do. Mark in Hollywood tweets, Penn State, the Eagles, and the Ryder Cup. Anyway, what's poppin', Twitter? Let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball!
Mark, you had a bad weekend, bro. You had a really bad weekend, didn't you? Penn State, that had to hurt. I mean, you had a hell of a phone call. You did have a hell of a phone call going into that weekend, even if nothing you said came true. I hear you, bro. What's poppin', Twitter? Let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball!
Second hour's wide open. I'm going to try and find a guest for that hour. I've got Tom Verducci coming up in hour number three. When we come back, Steve Smith Sr., former NFLer. Building pros, listen up. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner you're ever going to need for all your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing and dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will help you get your flooring jobs done quickly and profitably. Are you worried about selection, availability? Do not be. Lumber Liquidators has over 150 million square feet of flooring available with over 100,000 square feet in stock at most stores. And they stock professional-grade adhesives, underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, and grout, so you can get exactly what you need when you need it most. And if you're too busy to pick up your flooring, that's not a problem either. The LL Pro Plus team will deliver it right to your job. And with LL Pro Plus, you can even get a business line of credit. So put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Steve Smith Sr. coming up momentarily. As sports fans, football season is here. It's time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website, which offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, predict scores, or track player props. MyBookie.net lets you play without cash or other purchases. Use the promo code ROME100 when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every major league event, even esports. There is no better time to join MyBookie.net than right now. Go to MyBookie.net, open up an account, join in. Use the promo code ROME100 when you register, and you'll get a 100% sign-up bonus. Signing up is easy. You'll have access to your own personal dashboard. That's mybookie.net, promo code ROME100. No deposit is necessary. Terms and conditions do apply for entertainment purposes only and void where prohibited. At Pauly T. Wall tweets, I told Ursay I would do this.
I told Percy I'd do this.
Chanced it on fourth down. Chanced it on fourth down. Looking like a fool when I went for it on fourth down.
Got them pants. Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground.
I'll say it again. I like that call. I like that call. You know the players did too. As promised, we're joined right now by a five-time Pro Bowl player, seventh in NFL history in receiving yardage, seventh in league history in all-purpose yardage, 12th in league history in receptions. He is an NFL Network analyst, and you can see him every Sunday on Good Morning Football weekend at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. We are joined right now by Steve Smith Sr. Steve, great to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Rome? Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Doing great, Mr. Smith. Great to have you back. Always good to talk to you. Where to start, Steve? Let me start with Earl Thomas. He broke his leg in yesterday's game. He appeared to flip off the sideline as he was carted off the field. First,
appear would not be the accurate statement.
He flipped him.
He flipped him
the bird. Oh, man, he did. All right, so let me ask you this. I correct myself, or you correct me. Have you ever seen a guy do that before, and what's your take on the entire situation in Seattle?
So here's everybody you watch and listen to. I just finished doing that fat man workout, so I'm just sitting on the treadmill and just walking and looking at stuff, and it's working out well for me. But everybody's saying, how can he make that obscene gesture? Why did he do that? See, people are missing things. In the media sometimes, which I remove myself from being a media guy, and I try to look at it as a player. And the one thing that I noticed, that think about this, Joe. He flips him off and everybody's going crazy. But let me ask you, when has the last time you've seen a franchise, high-paid, Pro Bowl player get injured? They have to put an air cast on his leg. Who stayed on the sideline, though? See, the headline said he's flipping off the sideline. When has a player been injured and you have not seen the head coach come out on the field and look to see how his player is doing? The Arizona Cardinals patted him on the back. Larry Fitzgerald came off the sideline. Everybody came on off the sideline except an important person for the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll. He wasn't flipping off the sideline. He was flipping a bird to Pete Carroll. And hence why Pete Carroll, right after the game is over, in the win, he says, we're putting him on IR. It's a severe injury. When has broken legs been that severe where you have a prognosis of he is immediately no longer available for the remainder of the season? Usually that information comes out Monday morning, you know, Monday afternoon, Sunday night. Hell, the game was already over, and they decided that they're not designating him for an IR return. So that just lets you know the dysfunction of that organization. And here, and you look at all the departure of people of influence on that team. Richard Sherman, gone. Now, Earl Thomas, all his situations, gone. All these guys are leaving. There's a thing going on. And guess what? It's not the players. You know, and that's one of the things that I find it funny and interesting that people are missing. It wasn't the sideline. It was to a particular person.
Steve Smith Sr., my guest, I want to be very clear about this. I had no issue, no problem with it at all. I mean, I understand why he's upset. This is why he didn't want to come in. This is why he wanted a contract, because something like this could, in fact, happen. I know exactly who that was for. That was for Pete Carroll. That was for the front office. That was not for his teammates. I mean, the guy was obviously extremely frustrated. So, Steve, bottom line, Bobby Wagner made the point after the game. If Thomas doesn't play, people will say he's selfish and a bad teammate. But if he does play and he gets hurt, they'll say that he shouldn't have played. In your opinion, what should Thomas have done?
Well, Thomas did what Le'Veon Bell is not doing. He came and reported to camp and played it out and tried to work it out amicably. And it's not working out. And end result is why he got injured. And it's, you know, and I hate using that word, where injuries are part of the game. So is death in a car. But that doesn't mean when you wake up and drive your kids to school that you anticipate getting in a serious car accident. So I'm sick of people utilizing that as an excuse. And to say, you know the tragedy. You also know you could cut off your damn finger cutting a ham and cheese sandwich, too. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we push it aside and we don't really address it. Guys want security. Our game is so big and so well run right now. But one of the things that is not secure is financial. You look at some of these other organizations and other teams and other sports teams, these players – guaranteed contracts, max contracts for certain players, and then other players, they don't. And it's helped the salary cap. The NBA has a stronghold on not overpaying too many players, and the players that are middle of the road, they get a average contract. And when teams decide to sever the relationship, it doesn't hamstring or cripple the salary cap for that team. NFL is running into that problem, but they also are having guys now who are coming out of college, whether we like it or not, that are brands who are looking at it as a business, who want to be entertainers, who are diversifying themselves in other areas of the game and the business. And so it's all benefiting everyone, but it's very little guaranteed contracts. And the Le'Veon Bell.
Steve. Steve, you there? He was. Try and find him. Steve Smith Sr. making the point, and I couldn't agree more. I haven't gotten to this yet. Earl Thomas comes off the field, and I said, he appeared to. He said, oh, no, there's no appearance in that. He flipped off the bench. But who he was flipping off on the sideline was Pete Carroll. And I think that was really interesting what he said, that normally when a star player like that gets hurt, the coach is on the field checking on him. He said there was none of that. Pete Carroll did not come to check on him. He said Cardinal players were coming over to give them his best wishes or their best wishes. Where was the coach? And then they were quick to drop him on IR. He's done there. He's obviously not going to play there. And to me, it's just amazing how badly, how quickly and how badly things went in Seattle. Amazing how scarring that one single play call was in the Super Bowl. They have never been the same since. And to see a guy like Earl Thomas, one of the best in the game, and I would argue one of the best to ever do it, coming off that field and flipping off his coach and the front office, that was really compelling. And he meant that. 1-800-636-8686. I hope I can run him down and try and finish the conversation, because there's a lot of other things that I want to talk to him about in our time. In the meantime, you saw the entire weekend. I know you put the time in. Make use of that time. Get something out of it. Hit me up. Dear Rome. Alvin, you missed something. Come on, Alvin. I know it's Monday. Thank you. I've been a member of the nation since 1964, so I will take yesterday's game as a win, because a win is a win. Scoreboard. But I know the Raiders cannot give up 42 points to the Cleveland Clowns. Chucky, you gave away the Mac, and now we have no pass rush, and we can't stop the run. Nick Chubb. 3 carries, 105 yards is just sick. Johnny Morongo Valley. All right, I found him. I got a few more moments. Steve, good to have you back. Thanks so much. Hey. Steve, you mentioned Le'Veon Bell, so let me get your thoughts on that. What do you think that he thought as he saw what happened to Earl Thomas? Do you expect to see him in uniform at some point this season, or could you see him sitting out the whole year?
I could see him coming coming back week 8. And then after that, he goes ahead and gets, you know, they mess around with him. They'll say this, they'll say that. And then he'll play week 10, and he'll become a free agent, and he'll recoup the money that he lost from all those other teams, because free agency is like a marriage. You only got to convince one person to like you. And as you've seen with Khalil Mack and other people, you know, teams make decisions early on. They start to look at their offseason. They start to make decisions who they want going into free agency. Hence, Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Jets, they offered them more money. But the Minnesota Vikings got them. So teams already know who they want going into the offseason. So I would agree that he will probably go somewhere else, because you can see that the Steelers are moving on. That's why they drafted James Conner. And he's a pretty decent running back. He's no Le'Veon Bell, but he's the guy of the future.
And all it takes is one big yes. Now, you spent some time with Baker Mayfield for a segment, and you told him that he looked like, quote, a substitute teacher, which I thought was a great line. What do you make of him as a guy, and then how might that translate into him being a leader, an effective leader?
He is an effective leader because he is well-traveled. He's experienced in adversity. Some of these guys, like a Josh Rosen, he has experience in adversity. You know, he's up at UCLA. It's nice. You living out there in California, man. UCLA, they have a lot of adversity up there, you know, right now.
Right.
So they got the sun. They may get some rain. But Baker Mayfield has been – he's a walk-on. He transferred. He had to sit out. You know, he had to learn. One of the things that was really cool to watch at the combine, he was very accurate. And you can see he's a gunslinger. He knows how to put the ball. The only thing with that team that they need to learn how to do is handle the pressure and finish out games. They're a young team. They're very excited to watch. But at the end of the day, they're just a young team that really needs some experience.
Got a couple more minutes with Steve Smith Sr. Steve, you had a great piece, I thought, for NFL.com in September that broke down 5 keys to making it in the NFL as a player. And the first one was knowing how to take care of your body. When you first came into the NFL, how much did you know about that?
I didn't know anything about it. And I had to learn. You know, you go from college, they try to help you out. But the NFL is a little bit different. You have the whole offseason. There is no offseason as a rookie. Because you're going to training camp. I mean, you're going to combines. You're doing personal workouts. You're visiting teams. You're doing all that stuff. They poking and prodding you. Then you go to the draft. Then after the draft, they have a rookie mini camp. Then after a rookie mini camp, if your school is out early enough, you have OTAs, organized team activities. Then you have a little bit of week off. And then you go to training camp. They have rookie training camp. You do training camp. You go through the season, hit the playoffs. All of a sudden, January is you're done. Man, as a young man, you don't know what's going on. Your body's like, hey, we're usually done by now. So that part is tough. And so I had to learn over time. I had to learn what my body needs, how it needs it, what foods work for me, what foods don't. Coming from California to the South, man, you know, my family's from New Orleans and up north, Northern California. And we used to barbecue. But, man, when I got to North Carolina, there's some barbecue out here. I got a little heavy in off season, you know, eating fried chicken and some good ribs and stuff like that. So I had to really learn how to really manage my body and my time. So that all was something that was new to me.
Steve Smith, my guest. Steve, one more thought. That's funny about that. But you also wrote a really powerful piece about your personal battle with depression. I had Brian Dawkins, Steve, on the show recently, and we talked about his decision to share his battles with depression. What was it like for you to talk openly about that and share it?
Well, one thing that I saw that people automatically assume that I'm doing an article because, as some people say, my money's funny, and I'm looking to prove something. I'm going to tell you right now, my money ain't funny. I'm good. I wrote the piece because everybody believes, and I start off by talking about Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. Those people are very influential, and everybody knows them and sees them. Kate Spade, obviously, she does coach, and you see the impact and a financial wherewithal that she has. But at the end of the day, money cannot make you happy. And I just struggled with it most of my career, and I didn't realize what it was until I got retired. And I started seeking help on, man, I just don't feel satisfied, and I can't figure out why. And started going through and started reliving my days of playing and how I handle adversity and success. And I always second-guessed everything about my career. And one of the coolest text messages I got when I wrote the article was from my actual counselor. And he said, man, we've come a long way from that first meeting at your house. And I had him come to my house because the stigma of counseling and what that looks like and what people would assume. Now when I walk in my counselor's office, I'm not afraid or worried about who sees me, because for me, I'm saying, hey, I don't have it all together, and it's okay. And I'm fine with that. And I'm seeking help, and I'm at a place right now. I'm 39 years old. I got a beautiful wife. I got four great kids. And I finally, for the first time, have freedom. And I'm okay with being in my own skin. I don't have to be something or act like something I'm not. I could be okay. And it's been, you know, I'm at peace. And it's been cool to experience.
My man, I could not respect or admire that any more than I do. And I really appreciate you sharing that. Remember, you can see Steve Thursday on NFL Network's NFL Game Day kickoff at 6 p.m. Eastern, ahead of the Colts-Patriots on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. You can see him every Sunday. Also,
Showtime now.
Showtime now. Tell me.
Inside the NFL.
Oh, dude. I will be honest with you. I did not know that. That is awesome. That is a great show, and especially a great show for you to work on. What are you going to do for them?
I'm in the inside the NFL, so it's Boone, Ray Lewis, the demigod himself, and Phil Sims, JB, James Brown, who's an awesome host, and then this caramel light-skinned brother right here is on there as well. I'm on there about 9 to 10 shows, and so I'm having fun, but I'm learning from these guys, and it's been pretty remarkable to work for NFL Network and just get the opportunity to learn how to be an analyst, not to just talk about wide receivers, but to talk about offense, defensive line, and all that stuff. And this is my second year, but I'm really enjoying the opportunity that I have, and I hope I'm giving viewers an opportunity to laugh, smile, and also think a little bit, just like while I was telling you about Earl Thomas. And just don't assume what you see of that man is just you get what you see. But sometimes you got to understand these athletes are a little bit deeper than some. Some have a shallow pool, but some are 20 feet deep. And
hey, listen,
I hope you take the time to understand
that. I'm sorry to jump in. I say it all the time. We don't really know any of you guys, and there's something to that. Some of the guys who you think are not good guys are the best guys. Some of the guys who you think are the best guys are not the best guys. But that's a great group for you. Steve, couldn't be more proud of you. You're killing it. Steve Smith Sr., hate to jump in, my man. I'm getting all sorts of pressure to get the hell out of this segment. You know, you might not be a member of the media, but you work in TV now. See how that goes. Steve Smith Sr., as good as he's ever been, my thanks to him. I got to get out. Time now for a sports update. Here you go. Brad Heller has this one.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That last part of that interview is why Steve Smith has always been one of my favorite athletes ever. One of my favorite guys to watch, one of my favorite guys to talk to, one of my favorite guys to put on the shows. Always has been one of my favorites. And as an athlete, as a player, I thought this guy was amazing. To play at his size, with his ferocity, I've never seen a guy, I don't think, that size, that intimidating. I mean, Steve Smith, couldn't respect and admire him more, but he still scares the hell out of me, I'll be honest. Still. But that last part of that conversation is another really good illustration of that. That there's so much more to a lot of these guys than you could ever imagine. This email says, hey, Rome, let me break down exactly what happened to Steve Smith's phone call. Let's see. It's 12:32 Eastern time. Dude must be on the new iPhone XS. His battery definitely died. Signed, Matt in Poland Springs. New iPhone XS user. Apple cult follower. Midday phone charger. I don't know, Matt. Like, I'm rocking the XS Max right here. I've had pretty good luck with it. One of the things, allegedly, about the new phone is it's supposed to have a better phone battery. Allegedly. It seems to be about as good or a little better. This email says, actually, it's a text. Check that. It's a tweet at SA Sports Hong Tweets. Rome, tell Steve Smith Sr. to just tell the truth. Pete Carroll is being a butthole.
I read some of that to fuel my fire. Say, you know, if you don't think I'm good enough, let's see this butthole come ask me to do an interview for him and let him see him backpedal his way to ask me a question.
Do you read that stuff and keep scoring, remember what people say and what people write?
Sure do.
Sure do. It took me 3.5 years for Sporting News to finally say that I'm an elite player.
So did you forgive them?
No. Because then I still have the paper that said that Carolina, that was their worst draft for a third-round punt return. I keep that in my locker.
That was Steve Smith to me back in 2006. That butthole. I had never seen anybody, much less a star athlete, liberally use the word or phrase butthole to describe somebody for the record. Now, quickly, before I go back to that, a number of you have made the point that what he said is not accurate. That the team did come out to check on him. That even that butthole, the coach Pete Carroll, did come out to check on him.
Butthole.
So some of you took offense to that. And before you take a run at Steve Smith for using that word and phrase, even though I really had not heard that before, come to find out there's an entire club of people who use that very phrase.
Butthole.
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 These are not things that I just went online and found. These all came in context of something relating to the show. All of those people said that word.
Butthole.
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 Butthole. Butthole.
With that in mind, let's go to the phones. You have your telephone number. If you want, just shoot me an email or hit me up on Twitter. This guy knows how it's done. I'm going to bring this guy in. He'll be laconic. And then he'll get himself run. And 4 or 5 of you will laugh. I know how this goes. Let's go to Albuquerque. Rex, R-E-X, in the ABQ. Hey, Rex.
Hey, Jimmy. Congrats to the American Ryder Cup team for getting body bagged by Team Eurotrash and in the process proving once again that we are their bitch. The Brits couldn't wait to expose the Americans as a bunch of spoiled, cash-grabbing tools with no concept of team. Where is your pride, U.S. Americans? Why would you let Team Gingivitis do you like that with their frosted tips and medium shirts and skinny Gap jeans? And did Phil know he was playing in France? If so, why was he constantly hitting it toward Liechtenstein? It's time to kill this event, Old Yeller style. It's contracted rabies, and it cannot be saved. The only thing worse than this beatdown is the one the Chiefs will be laying on the donkeys tonight. Oh, and Alvy, I really want to be a part of that montage, butthole.
I don't know, Alvy. You don't like that call. I got to be honest. I would have racked that call.
Not a very good call.
Alvin, it's your hammer. You have the autonomy. You have the wherewithal. Why did you run him? Why did you run him? Why did you run him? I don't know. Like, Rex wanted to play some ball today. Believe me, if Rex wants to get run, he knows how to get run. He knows what to do and what to say. I don't think that was his attempt. I really do not think that that's what that was.
Butthole.
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 How can you run a guy for doing that when you played that montage of buttholes before that?
Butthole.
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 I do not want to undermine your authority, Alvin. However,
butthole.
If you're going to add
butthole.
That...
Butthole.
Butthole.
See, if you're going to add that to the prior, you can't run him.
Butthole.
Butthole.
It's inherently
butthole.
Contradictory. Butthole. It would make you a hypocrite. All right, we are coming back. Hour number two, we added Dennis Dodd to talk some college football. That's in the second hour. Do not go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome.
Butthole.
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 Butthole. Butthole.